Odyssey aficionados, enthusiasts, and devotees. I'm Bob, producer of the Odyssey Adventure Club.
And I'm Jesse, the grammar guy for Adventures in Odyssey Clubhouse Magazine. Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Today on the podcast, we'll be talking to actor Keith Ferguson.
Some of you might be thinking, boy, that name sounds really familiar. And that's probably because our good friend Keith has provided the voice for nearly 20 different characters on the show.
Keith has lent his vocal talent to notable characters including Thomas Jefferson, Constable Simon Pratt, Agent Huddleston, and John F. Kennedy, just to name a few.
And who could forget Keith's recurring role as TV news correspondent Ted Humphries, the voice of whom, we're told, is actually based on a real-life TV news anchor.
Well, let's talk to Keith to find out more about that and what he used to do when he was 8 years old that prepared him for voice acting.
Welcome, Keith.
Thanks. Hi, guys.
Well, you know, I have to ask, because you really didn't start out as a voice actor, but in a different role in production. So tell us about some of your first jobs.
Well, a long time ago, completely different life, I used to work in daytime television, and I actually did various jobs on shows like talk shows and game shows, the Donnie Marie talk show. That was actually
wow.
The last big production that I worked on. Basically, I was an intern supervisor on that show.
So you've been behind the scenes, and then how did you make that transition to voice acting?
The short answer is I took a voiceover workshop. I basically got my agent from one of the nights that was being taught by agents, and the rest was kind of history.
What other jobs, Keith, have prepared you for voice acting? Is it true that you studied puppetry?
I would say almost the reverse. Like, voiceover really lended itself towards me being able to kind of make some headway in puppetry. It was more of a hobby, I guess you could say, at the level that I pursued it, but the voices definitely helped with that.
Oh, yeah. And you've also done on-screen acting roles. So how is the preparation different for maybe being on-screen versus your voice acting?
Well, very different in certain respects. I think the most interesting difference is you can do a subtle sort of emotion that's conveyed through a facial expression and yet have kind of not much necessarily read vocally when you do on screen. In voiceover, since there's no recorded image of you, you really do have to put all of those little nuanced notes into a voice.
One movie that my family has really enjoyed lately, Keith, is the Lego Movie, and you played Han Solo in that. So how does one audition to do Harrison Ford? I mean, do they give you typical Harrison Ford lines and you try and voice match it?
You mean for that particular audition for Lego Movie?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, I think it was lines from the movie. And there weren't a lot of lines because it was almost like a cameo appearance in
right.
Lego
so funny.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because like, you know, Han Solo's voice, or I should say Harrison Ford's voice, has gotten a lot deeper over the years. Like, he has, like, a lot more texture as he's gotten older. So I had to make sure I did the young Han Solo as opposed to that really low thing that he does now, you know, so.
You know, we've talked to a lot of actors who don't seem to enjoy going back and listening or watching their own work after a production is done. So I've got to ask you, Keith, why do you think that is? And also, do you enjoy going back and listening or watching yourself?
That's a good question. Well, I can't speak for everybody, but my sense is that the whole way that you get into the space of performing isn't the same space as an audience member who's viewing or hearing it. So you have to be so in the character that you're doing your best to sort of remove yourself from the notion of I am being observed by, you know, someone beyond the fourth wall. So I think in the interest of doing that, once you entertain the thought of watching yourself, it kind of forces you out of that a little bit. I mean, I'm sure different people will have, you know, different thoughts about it. And as to me, another good question, I kind of do fall into that sometimes. Like, if I'm doing a role and it's an ongoing role, like on a series or a cartoon, I don't necessarily watch it regularly because I'm worried of falling into a weird sort of like, oh, now I'm imitating my performance. I kind of want to keep it in that organic place that I'm coming from. But there have been several roles where I've seen numerous performances after the fact. But what's interesting to me is there have been a couple of times where even when I'm watching the performance, it almost doesn't seem like me, especially for characters where my voice is completely different. I don't fall into that sort of, oh, I'm looking at what I'm doing, because it seems like another person is doing it, which is a little weird. But
yeah, that's interesting. You know,
yeah.
We've been doing this podcast for a long time. I don't think I've ever heard anybody describe it like that. It must be a sensitive balance between being very sensitive to what's happening and yet not being too self-aware. Yeah. Do you have a role model or a source of inspiration for the work that you do?
It's hard to pick one. I mean, I think, especially because I tend to do different characters, there tends to be so many people that inform my sensibility. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to watch like a lot of impressionists, like Rich Little.
I don't know if
that's dating myself, but even Fred Travellino is another one. I actually had an album of a whole bunch of impressionists.
Well, with your vocal abilities of playing so many characters, I think you've been 20 different characters on Adventures in Odyssey. So when you're asked to create a new character, how do you decide on voice, inflection, and tone to use for that character?
Well, I guess it varies depending on, one, the nature of the character, two, how conceived it already is by the creators of the project. Like sometimes, you know, you'll walk into any job and they'll have like a drawing or, you know, pictures of archetype characters that they're going for, everything from that to vocal qualities, like they'll even say like a low gravelly voice or this kind of accent, in which case I try and, you know, breathe as much life into their concept as possible. And then you have the opposite side of the spectrum where they're not really sure what they're looking for. They're just looking for something like, you know, oh, we just want someone to play off of this one character. We want someone who's kind of funny, but we want to see what you come up with. And in those situations, depending, like sometimes we'll just try a stab in the dark.
There was a scene in the Odyssey Adventure Club episode, Follow Me, where you had to play a character who was hit by a large falling jar. I think it was full of fish guts. How do you remember that one?
I do, actually.
Create a vocal sound like that? What goes on in your brain that says, this is what it sounds like to get hit with a jar full of fish guts?
Well, at home, I practice with my own jars. No, I'm kidding. You know, it's funny. I actually do a lot of video games. And so that's kind of my training ground for stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
They tell you to do everything from like, okay, you're getting hit in the face, to you're being electrocuted, to you're being set on fire. This is actually a little embarrassing, but I'll go ahead and admit it. When I was a kid, I actually used to like pretend like I was going through like things like fights or active scenarios, and I would actually jump around the room and create sounds.
Oh, nice.
I'm very embarrassed that I'm telling you this, but we're talking like when I was literally like 7 or 8 years old, I used to do this all the time. It was just, I was an only child, so pity me. I think that maybe that carried over into my adult life. I've kind of like harnessed that goofery into a profession.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, if you see me doing it, and this is true with so many voiceover actors, and in fact, I've even been taught that this is something you should do. When something happens to you, you actually physically do it with your body to some degree, while trying not to hit the microphone, that is. And it kind of just naturally creates some type of sound in your voice and adds a quality that naturally goes with that. So I think that always helps.
Hmm. You've done several historic characters, and you know, let alone the mid-70s Harrison Ford Han Solo voice, but with Odyssey, we asked you to do a young John F. Kennedy in Something Significant. So did you go back and study recordings of JFK ahead of time so you could really dial in that voice?
I'd actually done him before, so it was more of a brush-up for me. I think even growing up as a kid, we all have like different voices that we do. And for some reason, John F. Kennedy, I used to do impressions of him as a kid. You can tell how popular I was in high school. I think I did listen to him because it can be easy also to fall into like the caricature where it becomes too silly. But thankfully, I had some type of basis from previous John F. Kennedy impressions.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, as Jesse mentioned earlier, that's just one of the many roles you've played on Odyssey. Do you have one that stands out that maybe is a favorite?
Actually, Ted Humphries. I really liked that one. That whole sort of like gruff, taking himself too seriously character is always a fun thing to play for me.
Is it true that you modeled that voice to some degree after Brian Williams?
Sort of not intentionally, but I realized later, I'm like, oh, I'm totally doing Brian Williams. So it is true. But not intentionally, Brian Williams, if you're out there.
Well, knowing that Odyssey has a very young fan base, well, actually a very broad fan base, but our core is 8 to 12-year-olds, a lot of them are aspiring voice actors and performers, kind of like what you did when you were in your bedroom all by yourself when you were 7 or 8 years old. They want to do that kind of thing. What would you tell somebody who may be wanting to hone some of those skills?
Well, first thing I would say is don't be afraid to be silly. Uh-huh. I guess I have very little ego when it comes to what some might consider making a fool of themselves. Uh-huh. Playing is really the key. That's what makes it such a joy because, you know, I feel like I'm taking a part of what all of us remember from childhood, and I'm needing that to be a part of my adulthood, which, you know, if you're already a child, don't forget what that's like. You mm-hmm. know, you're ahead of the game in that you just have to remember stuff as opposed to create it from scratch in your childlike wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could tell from your voice, Keith, that you have a tremendous joy in what you do. And just talking about it, thanks so much for taking time to be on the program today. We look forward to having you be part of Odyssey for a long time.
Oh, well, my pleasure. And thanks so much. I appreciate it. It's been a great experience.
What a fun guy. I liked his advice about not being afraid to be silly. You know, I think that's something we can all apply no matter where we are, even on the podcast, Bob. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done some pretty silly things in the last 230 plus episodes. What's your favorite?
Well, I pretty much lost my dignity when I was wearing a Viking helmet while eating Cheez-Its.
Exactly.
How about you?
You know, I don't think you can beat the podcast where we were chasing Brock around the Focus campus.
Yeah.
That was great. And do you want to hear something else that's great?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we've got a special Christmas surprise.
Oh, yeah. We know a lot of people start their Christmas shopping early, so we're happy to announce that a new holiday-themed compilation is now available.
It's called Countdown to Christmas, and it's a very special Adventures in Odyssey album. You uh-huh. get it? Adventures.
Uh-huh.
Like Advent calendar. Mm. Yeah?
All right, you're right. But if you start talking about Christmas Eva, I'm out of here.
Deal.
Countdown to Christmas includes 24 Christmas adventures, one for every day in December before Christmas.
Plus, we have a companion activity calendar. While you count down the days till Christmas, you can find unique crafts, devotions, and games that you can do with your family.
Countdown to Christmas and Advent in Odyssey are available online or in your local Christian bookstore. You can get Countdown to Christmas on CD or digital download now.
Before we go, what's going on in the Adventure Club, Bob?
Well, we just released a new episode titled Hidden Gems. Let's hear a preview now.
This month, only on the Odyssey Adventure Club, Olivia travels in the Imagination Station to witness several amazing stories from the Bible.
Aren't you kind of young to be king?
Yes, I'm only 8.
Slimy can do amazing things. Some have even seen him fly.
It is the angel of the Lord.
Okay.
They're Bible stories you may not be familiar with. That's this month, only in the Odyssey Adventure Club.
I can't wait for that one.
Oh, I gotta say, the artwork for this one is awesome, too. The angel that Gary Locke created is just amazing. We'll have that art on the website, and if you're not a member of the club yet, you can sign up at oaclub.org.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us. That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
You can find out more about this podcast and all things Adventures in Odyssey at witsend.org or give us a call at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.